No, I'm scared.
Well, are we ready to go? And is John Watts here? There you are. How are you? It's good to see you. So I think we're about ready to... As soon as Sandy gets seated, we will call our meeting to order. And I appreciate John Watts with First United Methodist Church being here. And so let's have you come forward and give us our invocation and lead us in the pledge. Let's stand.
Dear God, as we come to you tonight, we want to begin by just being still for a moment, just pausing in your presence, just releasing to you all of our tension and stress and whatever is on our minds and troubling us right now, whatever agendas we might bring to this meeting. We just want to release that to you. It might take a breath or two as we breathe out the stress and the tension. And as we breathe in what you have for us, your peace, your stillness, your comfort, your love, your guidance, your light, your assurance that it's really not all up to us. And so as we begin this meeting, we give this meeting over to you. We know that you care about this meeting. You care about every item on the agenda tonight. You care about it because you care about what we care about. And we know that you've given to us, you've entrusted to us all that we need. You've given us a wonderful mayor, a wonderful city council, wonderful city officers and employees. And you've given us some wonderful citizens. Concerned citizens. And as we begin tonight, we just pray that you will help us all to work together to make this a better city, a city that's more the city you want it to be. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor Watts. We appreciate your prayer. Okay, roll call.
Skog.
Here.
Haverfield.
Here.
Levi.
Present.
Hogaboom.
Here.
Bruner.
Here.
Rodriguez.
All right. So, I think we're going to skip our proposed amendments to the agenda piece, assuming there are none, and with the new, we have a new, just for those of you sitting here, statute that actually really limits any amendments to the agenda, and so we'll be keeping kind of in order with that, so we'll limit those at the last minute. So, and before we start, I just want to say thank you to everyone here. I said that a little earlier for the special council meeting where we talked about impact fees, but I so appreciate the citizens of our community and your engagement. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of the process. We appreciate you. Okay, so we have a consent agenda. Are there any questions? And I would take a motion to approve our consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Skog.
Yes.
Levi.
Yes.
Bruner.
Yes.
Hogaboom.
Yes.
Haverfield.
Yes.
Thank you. We have a proclamation tonight, and this is a proclamation related to, and this is somewhat new to council, and I realize that we hadn't been doing many proclamations, so at the beginning of the council meeting, we'll add, if there is a proclamation, we'll take an opportunity to read it. And this has to do with hearing. So whereas hearing healthcare professionals in the city of Nampa, Idaho observe and celebrate Better Hearing Month each year during the month of May, and whereas the city of Nampa, Idaho recognizes and values the efforts of all who work to eliminate or minimize the isolating effects of communication disorders in the one in five families affected by them, And whereas more than half of the people with hearing loss are younger than age 65. And whereas hearing loss is the third most common health problem in the United States. And whereas our citizens who have overcome communication disabilities through the services of hearing care professionals are now able to lead independent, productive, and fulfilling lives. And whereas the City of Nampa is proud and honored to have hearing care professionals offering quality education and healthcare services to its citizens, I therefore, Debbie Kling, Mayor of the City of Nampa, Idaho, do hereby proclaim the month of May 2018 in the City of Nampa as Better Hearing Month, and encourage all citizens to recognize the achievements of hearing care professionals in improving the quality of life for people with communication disorders. And thank you to our professionals. So at this time, this is the opportunity where someone wishing to speak on an agenda item may do so, or a non-agenda item. Is there anyone that would like to speak on an agenda item or non-agenda item? So I have one, two, three. Okay, so let's start with the agenda item first, and then we're going to move to non-agenda items. So does anyone wish to speak on an agenda item? Please come forward. As you come forward, you'll have 3 minutes to speak. Please feel free to share your name and the item that you're wishing to speak to.
My name is Philip A. Peterson. I'm a member of the Nampa Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, a recent reappointee, as a matter of fact. Unfortunately, our chairperson, Loretta Schandorf, was unable to attend the meeting. She's out of town, and she asked me to appear. I believe she has sent you an email, each of you, concerning the issue of the further extension of the starter pathway. So with regard to that, I just wanted to indicate that our committee unanimously and enthusiastically supports the extension of the pathway. I mean, it provides a wonderful way for people within the city and without the city, since it will eventually really circumvent the city, for those people to have access to downtown. And this particular segment that we're talking about is sort of the final link in providing that access. So we're in favor of it, and I hope you will see it in your hearts to allocate the money, which appears to be perhaps available, to purchase that additional property that's required to complete the pathway. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, anyone wishing to speak on a non-agenda item? I think we have about three hands.
I'm Cynthia Reynolds. I'm not sure if I'm agenda item or not, but I'm with the Starter Trails also. I was part of the...
Point of order. Can we get addresses of the speakers also?
Okay, thank you.
Cynthia Reynolds, 324 North Orchard Heights Way in Nampa. And I was part of the group that went door-to-door speaking with people along that Starter Trail pathway area where they're wanting to annex. And everybody that we spoke with was very positive about that. And the feedback was positive, and they were happy to get that trail cleaned up. I was also part of a group that went through and actually did the pedestrian counts through that area. And there are quite a few pedestrians that do walk that pathway, even though it is full of weeds and everything else. And they thoroughly love walking that pathway. And I love biking. I started biking myself. I remember biking when I was a kid, and it's an enjoyment for me. And now I want to have my grandkids go with me. And I mean, to unplug and learn to enjoy life again is what I really believe in. So I appreciate you guys' vote on passing that.
Thank you, Cynthia. And thank you, Bruce, for that call to order to get that. Is there anyone else that has something that they would like to? Yes, please go forward. And thank you for stating your name and your address and the issue.
My name is Rick Steerer, 725 Parkside Way. The issue that I'd like to speak on is road construction in a subdivision that appears to be perennial, just overlooked all the time, Shalimar Terrace. On March 23rd, a construction project was started where the streets of Horizon and Pasco come together. Two very large holes were dug, and of course the obligatory orange cones and whatnot were put up, and then no one was seen after that for some time. I've made two specific phone calls to the city, but have not had a great deal of luck in getting response. So I came up to the city and I found that the project started on the 23rd of March. It was supposed to have ended on the 18th of April. Well, on the 10th of April. The 10th came and went, and the construction company, Cougar Excavation, asked for a 30-day extension, and they were granted that. Now, it's interesting to note that the 30-day extension is a greater time period than the original proposed amount of time to do the whole project. The extension was to go to 10 May. Today is the 7th. I've seen no one around there. One of our main complaints in Shalimar is that the roads are deteriorating. There are lots and lots of problems, but on this specific construction site, there are these two craters, and we live in an area that has quite a number of children. And orange cones just don't seem adequate. We're all wondering why it's taking so long to do this. And when I spoke with someone at the city, when I went up there, I asked what the penalties are for being tardy with the completion of the project, and they said, well, there really aren't any penalties, which quite surprised me. So.
Mr. Steer, could you share your telephone number, if you don't mind doing it publicly? I thought not for, or you can write it down and hand it to us privately. I'd like to be able to follow up with you.
No, that's fine. 208. 550-9716.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate what you just shared with us. It's very important to us, and it's not how we prefer to do business. So, and our streets division is here, so we will discuss it, and we'll have someone follow up with you.
I've seen this happen before. The intersection down by Lone Star was probably 45 days overdue because the contractor didn't have the parts available to complete the project. And when I finally got in contact with the proper authority, they kind of just blew it off. Said, well, it's, you know, I asked what the penalties were. And there were no penalties for these oversights. So here you have it.
It's good information, and thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak this evening? Okay, I think I see a hand up there. Go ahead.
Not sure, so I'll ask the question first. So, agenda item number 17, I believe.
Yes.
This is the appropriate time to
see. Yes, it is.
We're getting a chance. Okay. My name is Mike Timpson. Address is 10469 Dunlap Drive, Napa, Idaho. This is regarding the zoning change. And since I guess this is the only opportunity we'll have to speak to it.
Yes.
Madam Mayor, this is with reference to the request for reconsideration on the agenda tonight. Under our ordinance, the council is guided to make that decision solely upon the written request, because this is not inside the confines of a public hearing that's been noticed up for that purpose. If the council determines that it wishes to grant that request for reconsideration, notice will be sent out to all the interested parties, and an opportunity will be available to speak to that. if the council decides not to reconsider it, then the matter continues under the prior decision. But at this time, I would recommend that we not receive any further comments with respect to item number 17.
And typically, you would have that opportunity during this session, and thank you for the clarity. It just has to do with the reconsideration of the guidelines surrounding that. But because it will, if the council were to choose to approve the reconsideration, it'll come back to another public hearing, and you'll get the opportunity to speak at the public hearing.
Understood.
So that opportunity would come. Thank you so much. Is there anyone else wishing to speak on an agenda item that is not number 17? Or non-agenda item?
I'm just wondering if I could have the better hearing proclamation.
Yes, you may.
Thank you.
We'll make a copy of it for you.
Thank you.
Did you request the proclamation?
I did.
So, yes, you may.
Mayor Flynn?
Yes.
I'm just curious who you are. If you just let us know
great.
Who you are,
I'm sorry,
your interest in the proclamation.
Thank you. If you could speak to that.
I'm Susan L. Cox, and I'm with Treasure Valley Hearing and Balance, and I requested the proclamation for the opening of Better Hearing Month. We're very excited to be offering free screenings this month for all of our citizens because of all the statistics that you read off in the proclamation.
And Susan, thank you. I'm sorry that I didn't have your name to acknowledge you.
That's fine.
Thank you. Okay. Unless there is another comment during this time, we'll move on. The first agenda item this evening is a communications report from our Nampa Healthy Impact Coalition. Jean Fitzgerald Munsey, Brent Peterson, and Sherry Ainsworth.
Let's give our addresses.
Yes, please. Go
so
ahead.
Matt Peterson, 11142 West Shea Park. Thank you, Mayor Kling and the City Council for this time. It's our privilege to kind of report back on a really exciting venture that we've been a part of for several months now. There is a PowerPoint available to follow. I'll not go through all the slides in detail. Just some history, you'll recall that Nampa was chosen to receive the Invest Health Grant as part of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. As one of those 50 cities, we were given access to lots of resources and help and surveys. Through those surveys, we received lots of great data about our great city, including finding out some of the areas that are in great need in our city, especially issues in regard to food access and other health issues as well. You'll notice a lot of stats up there on some parts of our neighbors in Nampa that are concerning to us. You'll notice the top stat there, that 10% of the housing units do not have a vehicle available, which provides challenges in lots of ways. We'll get into that a little bit later. You'll also see a few lines down that this is the area lowest per capita income in the Treasure Valley. And so an area of great need that is certainly part of our neighborhood. And one of the things I appreciated is that of the prayer breakfast last week, and Mayor Kling said so well, is that as a community, we care about our neighbors. It is not good enough to fend for yourself, but many times in our lives, we've needed folks to help, and that's what the citizens of Nampa have done in partnership with several great agencies. So we create, as you're aware, the Healthy Impact Nampa, which I'm a part, and I think Randy is the reason I'm on this committee. He volunteered me, so thanks for your help, Randy. With that, we have looked to do several things. The Healthy Impact Nampa then, from there, developed into three or four main committees. I was co-chair of the Food Access Committee. We're working on several projects. The one I want to bring to you tonight is our shuttle service we're running. With that shuttle service, you'll notice again the great challenges of transportation and other issues in that area. The shuttle's been running, and the stats Gene and Sherry will report on in a few moments. I would say a point of revelation that we've come to realize is that while the shuttle was developed to help folks get access to food, and soon talking to the residents, the issue of food access was not the primary concern. But many of our citizens without cars were isolated. They were all alone. They couldn't get out. They had to rely upon family and friends and able to socialize. And so as we started the shuttle service, we soon noticed that many of them were reporting on not only the ability to go to first to Winco, then Walmart, but then the ability to socialize. And the importance for many of them, this is their only opportunity to get outside of their home. And the place of independence and help was a great thing. So we have recognized the issue of for food access, for prescriptions, and other ways we might want to grow this. But this, again, is a great opportunity for us to think of our citizens for whom are kind of locked and located in their homes and are winding way forward. And now I'll have my colleagues come and share the rest of the data.
Hi, I'm Sherry Ainsworth, 3604 East Manowar Drive in Nampa. So as part of the Food Access Committee, we had some conversations around how do we look to begin to address this need in our community. It was important to us, and we wanted to help our neighbors. So we partnered. St. Luke's, St. Alphonsus, and the Boise Rescue Mission joined together to really start a pilot program for 3 months to really assess the need and to see what the ridership would be for this particular program in the Census Tract 202. We currently, the pilot program costs $5,000, and that was really to fund the driver, Roberto, who does the driving for us, and he's bilingual. The cell phone, maintenance of the vehicle, gas, etc. And then the Boise Rescue Mission supported this work by donating the People Mover for us to use to shuttle these individuals around. And what's critically important here is that this particular People Mover has wheelchair access, and so we're actually able to take some of our neighbors who are in need of mobility support as well. So as you can see the route here, we go down 6, we kind of come around and hit Sugar. So this is our route. We had a route initially with several stops, and we actually asked individuals from this particular community to ride along with us before we set this in stone that this would be our route, and to get feedback and make sure that the stops that we thought were appropriate were indeed where individuals could access the shuttle. We did make adjustments based on their feedback and then have created this route, and we continue to adjust the route. We're always looking at ridership, and if we aren't getting any ridership in certain spots, we want to be as effective and efficient as we can and look to areas where we might need to do that. In addition, the initial route did not include Walmart. We only went to Winco, and some of the needs that surfaced was the need to fill prescriptions. So that's important as hospitals for Gene and I to be able to address that, because that keeps our patients and our neighbors healthy. So we did add, we were able to then again look at the ridership and usage at the shuttle stops and adjust that so we could include Walmart into that as well. And if you look at this sheet here, this is really our stats. So we started with as few as 17 riders, which to us was actually a really big win. We weren't expecting 17, so that was exciting. And we've grown to as many as 47 riders. This past Saturday, we actually had 41 riders. So it's definitely being utilized. Keep in mind, we only do that on a Saturday morning, 10 to 3 o'clock, and really around that time frame, for us to do a loop, it's about an hour. So we typically stop picking people up around 2 so that we can loop them to the stores and get them picked back up at home before we stop the service. March was National Nutrition Month, so that was important to us. To one, we are really looking at food access, as Brent said, also the social isolation issue. But food access from the healthcare perspective is really around, we have high rates of diabetes, obesity, and how do we begin to tackle that as well? So March was National Nutrition Month. We incorporated dietitians into this, and we did grocery store tours. So individuals could meet with the dietitians, learn how to actually shop the perimeter of the store, which is where the healthy foods lie, and learn about how to prepare foods, recipes, and really consult with the dietitians. The stores did participate with us and did offer coupons and gift cards to those individuals that actually were a part of that. In addition to that, we also put packets together, little goodie bags that have recipes and information and healthy snacks, so those that were riding the bus could enjoy that. And we had other bilingual individuals that are cooks at the hospitals and stuff come out and ride. And we continue to do that. St. Luke's and St. Alphonsus continue to alternate on who supplies that each Saturday and when we're doing the rides. Jean Muchie, 12294 South Brunswick Way, Nampa, Idaho. I'm going to have to go back here, though, to click this, or maybe Sherry and Brent can help. We think, clearly you've heard tonight that residents are using this. When the two Pauls closed down, it really created isolation around access to healthy foods for a lot of our residents. Oops, sorry. I think we may have to click out of it for a second. But we can tell you how important it's been to the writers, but we really want you to hear it in their own words. So just bear with us for one moment, please.
So you have to see.
I'm Ida Jean Anderson. I'm 81 years old. I've just given up my driver's license, and I am so thankful for this shuttle service that comes, and how I wish that it was more days than just Saturday. I would be more than happy to ride this shuttle anytime they want to come and get me.
How does it help you have access to the store?
Oh, my goodness. Two of the best, Walmart and Winco. I mean, that is one of the two of the best stores for those of us who are on a Social Security income. And we want to have... We need, yes, the fixed income, and I would be unhappy to give a donation or two for the show to keep it going, or even add another day to it, especially during the week when we can go to the banks and things that aren't open on Saturdays. So we're hoping for a weekday.
Great. And what do you guys think of Roberta?
Roberto? Our driver, Roberto? My goodness. We couldn't do without him, since he's the only one with a driver's license. Oh, yes, yes. This is, a lot of times, that's where my social, other than church, this is it.
Thank you.
Margaret, oh, hold on. My name is Margaret. I use the shuttle because I do not have a vehicle and I live alone, and I really hate imposing on relatives just to take them for a store for a couple of items. This helps me out a lot.
Okay, my name is Jenny, and I don't have a car and I'm disabled, so this helps. That's all right.
Sorry, they were sideways. But I think, as you can hear, that's the fabric of our community. These people need connectivity, just like any of us, and they crave independence. They want to be able to go out on their own and they want to be able to get to the store. There's one gentleman, I rode with them, he rides 3 hours, and he said, I get to look out the window at my beautiful community, and then I go shop. So he just rides, sits in that front seat as proud as can be, and I encourage each of you to ride one Saturday. It's really remarkable. These folks need our help. They need our connectivity. But I'd like to ask just real quickly before we get to the last slide, how many of you are here tonight in support of the work happening in North Napa? Yay! We have a really good group of folks who are committed to these projects, but I think it's really important to remember, do nothing to me without me. This needs to be led by the community that lives in North Napa, and we're here to help. But it is their initiatives that need to be led. They said, we need help, we step up, and we live in an incredible community. So now, sustainability planning. I was kind of mind mapping this because I had spoken to you guys before, and I think we were asked to go back and do some due diligence. And so I think as we started looking at this, we'd started out with food access. And that really was the initial sort of direction that we thought this was headed. So we're looking at healthy variety, choice, produce, dairy, all the different things that we're thinking about when we're talking about access to healthy foods. But then need versus want, I think tonight we've heard this isn't a want, this is a need. And so it really becomes a health equity issue when people don't have access to healthy foods, they don't have access to transportation. As you heard from Imogene, they live on a Social Security income. We've got to look at funding. We've got to look at some private and public partnership potential. Social connection, there's belonging, there's self-worth, they're independent, they're finding friends, they're using their voice. And then prescriptions. As Sherry mentioned, if people can't access a pharmacy to get their prescriptions, they can't be compliant. So we see diabetes that goes unchecked. We see a lot of other comorbid conditions that become chronic diseases. And if you look at the data that we gave you earlier, we've got a really concentrated pocket of chronic diseases happening in Census Tract 202. We've got one right next door that doesn't look so great either. So really addressing this early and often right now can really help mitigate some of those things that become really costly for hospitals in our community, catastrophic funds, others, if they go unchecked. So prescriptions, access, health, safety, and also accountability. They're accountable to go get their prescriptions filled and also make sure they're taking them. Vicki, we talked to her a little bit before, and she said, this is not a grocery shuttle. This is a Wheels to Wellness initiative. This has become a place to socially connect, to create access to prescriptions, to fill a need, not a want, and really to bridge the gap right now around access to healthy foods. This is a start. It's not a finish. We still need to create some more permanent access to healthy foods on the north side. But right now, I think the data, if we add 346 and 41, so we're up at 387 in that first three-month pilot. I think that's pretty significant. So that's where we are. We're looking at some sustainability. We've got some individuals who are right now trying to help us sustain it month by month. It's not a long-term solution. We need to do better than that. But in May, St. Albans is going to sponsor that month, and then June, Representative Rick Youngblood, Representative Robert Anders, and Senator Todd Leahy are going to fund, and they're going to ride, so you guys can go ride with them. Just don't take shuttle time from others, because it gets full. And then St. Alphonsus is also doing some due diligence to see if it could be rolled beneath Meals on Wheels, since really, instead of meeting homebound seniors, it's taking a lot of seniors to the store, so it's kind of opposite, but I'm still getting people access. And then we're also looking at public-private partnership potential, so possible maybe CDBG funding consideration again. But I think you could hear from them. We can't let it go. We have to sustain it and figure out a way. So we appreciate your time, and thank you for letting us let you know what's happening in North Nampa. Any questions?
Mayor, may I? Jean, Sherry, Brent, thank you so very much for leading the charge on this. A few questions and compliments and maybe an idea. What's the question is, what's the capacity of the rescue mission van? What's the capacity, seating capacity?
20.
It's 20.
Okay. And I'm seeing all your numbers, which I am so appreciative. We have kind of another entity that has not given us great statistics, so I appreciate you keeping track of this. But how many different, and if you don't have these answers, that's fine. I can get them later. But how many different individuals over this time period from February to April? So I'm counting one, the person that's riding three different shifts, but how many total individuals have utilized this service? Do you have any idea?
We tried to have a little anonymity, so we don't have an exact number. We don't ask people to chart their name off and on. I would guess, I'm going to guess here, maybe 55 to 60 to 70 different people. So there is a group who kind of rides every week as a core. Then he has those who come probably once a month. So that's, to be honest, kind of a guess.
Sure.
We're saying that.
That's fine. I appreciate the numbers. And then I just noticed April 28th, it was low. How was May 7th?
41.
May 5th, not 7th. Yeah. I'm sorry.
41.
Yeah, 41.
So you just had April 28th?
He said it was a really nice day and not many people there. But again, we had a great Saturday last Saturday, but up to 41, which I think is our second highest of the whole time. So.
Okay, and then just my other suggestion. I know these other areas you're looking at, and it's great that these state legislators and so on are coming aboard. But it might size the nap, but think of the churches and the businesses. And even for, I can see 3 years out, a church taking a month, a business taking a month, or a partial month of partnering with another business. I don't see any reason in the world why our private and nonprofit entities can't continue this. Were you going to say something?
Mayor and Council, does it take a CDL license to run the van?
Yes. And I think a big, Aaron here, the Idaho Press Tribune has. Thankfully, Aaron, they've given us some really good coverage around this, and I think it was really important in this last article that we heard from the driver and we heard from the riders. It doesn't matter if you're hearing from Brent and me and Sherry, because a lot of times we make solutions for the people who don't need it. You heard, I think, and residents read in the paper this last week, these are the people who are the fabric of our community who need this. So we are welcoming of any business who wants to step up. I think the challenge is we need to know that we've got a couple months in the bank so that we're not just telling riders, we don't know what's going to happen in July. It really causes it causes a lot of anxiety for them because they've now finally found some permanence to be able to get out. And that independence that Brent spoke to, that social connection, you just see these people light up when they see each other. And Roberto, and he's brilliant with them. He'll walk their groceries to their house for them if they've got a mobility issue. So we've got a really special individual in him. He's also bilingual, and he's a veteran. He just has a heart for service and ministry, and he's perfect for this. So we're looking for any and all avenues to sustain it, again, with a longer-term fixed solution. We don't know what that looks like.
And, Mayor, I would think Aaron's back there. Prestribune can help with the promotion. We're a charitable city. I'm sure they'll come aboard with Prestribune's help. So
very helpful this morning.
All right.
Well, and just a good news on that, and a side note for Erin, based on her article, I did actually get a call from Walmart, and we'll be meeting with them to see about some funding options as well.
Is there any further questions?
Yeah, Mayor. Thanks for all you do on this. I was just wondering if on this route that you provided, what public transportation options there are, if any?
There are some, but they don't run on Saturday.
Okay.
And as we've looked at some of the fixed routes before, it can take up to 3 hours round trip to get to the store, and they have to get to a stop. And there are not very many stops along this route for people to get to, so it's really challenging for a lot of our residents to get to where those stops are. So there's very little fixed option for a lot of them right now.
Yeah. So is the service, is the bus picking them up? Once you get to know, like, who's riding, are you kind of stopping right in front of their place so they don't have to walk as far?
As close as we can if there's a mobility issue. Roberto's been really fabulous about that.
We've tried to customize. Obviously, the bad weather, we help folks to their door. To those who are the worst mobility, we've kind of customized some stops because they've been very faithful. Some folks can walk a little distance, so it depends on the person. But we have that flexibility to care for them on individual needs.
And then just on the cost, the $5,000 funded the first 3 months, is that correct? So it's roughly about $400 a Saturday, $4 to $5, the cost?
We're really working on what the fixed and hard costs are right now. We think we can bring that cost down a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
But I think we were just sort of in this pilot phase assessing what really that true cost was, so we're still working on some of that data.
We're hopeful that is a high end and we can find some other ways to be more efficient, make that number smaller, to make it sustainability with folks helping more attainable.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, each of you, for all you do. You guys are amazing heroes, and I really appreciate the collaboration between St. Luke's and St. Alphonsus. It's just awesome. So we are so blessed to have you guys in our community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It is time for our public hearings, but I'm going to ask a quick question. Darren, is Cody doing the staff report for the 20 years? Should we do that so he can go home? Okay, so we're going to do a quick staff report, and it's just a short report. So we're going to do that to allow him to go home before we step into our public hearings. And Cody, here's your...
You hang on to that. That is your award. And that I'm here tonight to talk about trees. And what an exciting milestone the city of Napa's hit. And to congratulate you and the citizens and everybody for Napa being a Tree City USA for 20 years. So I think I brought that back from the celebration. But that's our 20-year award from the Arbor Day celebration at NNU. Arbor Day is a big deal, especially for us over in the forestry department. It's our big time to shine, and this year worked out really, really well as far as we had two celebrations to attend, and they happened to be at the same time on the same day, so we had to decide what we were going to do. So the mayor and Darren, Parks and Rec director, and our city forester went to the State House, and they were able to celebrate Arbor Day with the rest of the communities throughout the state of Idaho that traveled to the State House to participate in Arbor Day celebration and their Tree City USA recognition. And then we have our local hometown celebration too. And this year, it was wonderful to have Councilman Bruner come to NNU along with Adam Mancini, our city arborist, and I was out there to celebrate our hometown Arbor Day. And it's such a fun event because we partner with NNU every other year. 1 year we have the event in a city park, and we plant the trees there. And then the following year, we go to the campus at NAU and plant some trees on their campus. And the reason we partner with NNU is because they're the first tree campus USA in the state. And so that's a huge designation for them. And we have such two wonderful entities in our community, we might as well partner together, and it's just worked wonderfully. To quote Councilman Bruner, he read the proclamation for us, which was awesome, but he got to the heart of it by saying the reason for the trees and celebrating urban forestry is to gladden the heart for this and future generations. And I think that spoke to the heart of everything. I mean, we all kind of know what trees do for our community. They improve property values. They clean our air. They help with stormwater mitigation, soil erosion, and all those good things. But that's really the heart of it, is to gladden our heart for this and future generations in Nampa. And one of the big celebrations that, the fun things that we got to do at our local celebration was partner, we always grab fifth graders because they're the best age to do this with. But this year we had about 25 fifth graders from Willow Creek Elementary School come out to NNU, and we had a wonderful turnout from NNU students there also. But they get their hands dirty. They get to plant the trees, and it makes for some great photos, kind of like you see up here with all the kids in different celebration. That happens on site. There's a few things that Nampa has to do in order to be a Tree City USA. It's just not everybody gets one of these things. And so I don't like to read a ton, but I'll go through the four different standards that we have to bear in order to do this. We have to establish a tree board or a forestry department within the city, and Nampa has both. We have a forestry division, and we have a tree board. Our tree board is made up of 8 individuals who meet twice per year to discuss the tree issues within our city. And here in Nampa, we have members that are made up of city staff and professionals in the urban forestry field, such as a landscape architect, a horticulture professor, a certified arborist, a university extension officer, a university grounds manager, and a local business owner. So that's all who make up Nampa's forestry board. We also have tree care ordinances within our city. There's lots of tree care ordinances. I think the big ones are we hold the care of our right-of-way trees and our publicly owned trees to high standards as set forth by the International Society of Arboriculture in their pruning, planting techniques, and Nampa does have that, protects those trees. We have a forestry division with an annual budget of at least $2 per capita per year, and that the funding comes from you to the city forestry division in order to put out and have those trees pruned and cared for over the course of the year. So we meet that level. And then the big one is having that fun Arbor Day proclamation that we have each year, and having somebody, an elected official, read that proclamation and proclaim April 27th this year as Arbor Day in the city of Nampa, and the fifth graders just go crazy for that sort of thing. You know, next year we'll be in a park, and hopefully NNU will be there, and we'll do it all over again. But it's the one time of year that I'd like to communicate you on behalf of the Forestry Division in the city of Nampa. Thank you very much for the support that we get. Thank you for understanding the importance of the trees and what they do in our community. And if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to talk to you further.
Thank you so much. And I'm sorry, so Bobby went to NNU and I went to the Capitol building because it happened to be on the same day with Darren.
Yes, and I got one photo of you up there with Smokey the Bear and Darren.
And Darren,
I didn't get a lot of detail on how that went, but thank you for going on behalf of the city of Nampa. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting is, I forgot to mention this because I have so many notes here, but there are 67 cities throughout Idaho that have this designation. So, you know, it's Nampa, it can be proud that we picked this out, but it's one thing that others strive to accomplish, and we've been doing it for 20 years.
Well, thank you to our Parks and Rec and to Cody, to you, for your continuance of this program, that we have 20 years that we're a Tree City USA, so thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
So as we move into, I guess I'm under the understanding that we have a few people here related to item number 17. Could you raise your hand if you're here for item number 17? Okay, we're going to do item number 17 next before we go to the public hearing. That way you guys don't have to sit here for a long time. So let's go ahead and move to unfinished business. Item number 17 is a request for reconsideration of the Comprehensive Plan Future Land Use Map Amendment, Annexation and Zoning and Conditional Use Permit at the northwest corner of the intersection of West Cherry Lane and Midland Boulevard for Jeffrey Burnson, representing Derek Pardoe CIF Enterprises LLC. As we step into this, Aaron, would you just go ahead and speak to our process tonight?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As you may recall, our city code provides a process by which an interested party in any typically planning and zoning action can request that you reconsider a decision. There are criteria set forth in the ordinance in very summary format that there's relevant information that was not previously presented or is brought up in response to something brought up at the previous hearing, and that the information was not previously available, or if it's made pursuant to a specific provision of Idaho code that requires it in that instance. This is not identified in the request that's falling under that category. It's a decision that's wholly within your discretion to make. If your collective decision is yes, it comes back after being all of the people that were notified for the initial hearing are re-notified for a new hearing. If your vote is no, then we move forward and the matter is completed. So.
And I guess I have one other question. I'm sorry I'm not clear on, and that is there a staff member presenting or speaking to this issue this evening, or is it strictly discussion amongst council?
Madam Mayor, thank you. That's a good follow-up question. No one will be speaking. The staff will not speak. The letter speaks for itself. We have in the past, the council has engaged in limited discussion, but to the extent possible, the recommendation we would make is more of a thumbs up, thumbs down vote, as you see fit, based on the letter alone. And if additional discussion is desired, then it is available through the public hearing process if the vote is yes.
So really, in essence, based on the letter that was presented, we would be looking for a motion to either consider the reconsideration or to deny it, and then at which time it'll come back to public hearing and we'll discuss at that time. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what we would be looking for this evening, would really be a motion
Council Aaron, so no questions really, there's no one to ask questions to regarding any clarification regarding this letter, is that correct?
Madam Mayor, Councilor Bruner, that's correct.
Okay. So when we say, given the misunderstanding and conflating of the non-related issues, just have to hopefully guess what those were.
The words on the page should speak for themselves, and just as a reminder, the whole intent of this is to preserve to the maximum extent possible the sanctity of the quasi-judicial process. There are parties who could both want to speak to your question, for example, right there, and neither will have an opportunity to do so. So if there's a desire to resurrect the question and bring it back, vote should be yes. If not, vote should be no.
Mayor, just a question in the first paragraph. Again, we can't ask, I guess, questions of the applicant, Mr. Bernson, but he references that it was brought to his attention that several of the council members in discussions following the meeting were not clear on what was being requested and were negatively influenced by the results of a previous planning commission decision on a conditional use permit application. You just mentioned protecting the purity of the process. I don't know what he's referring to, how such information was ascertained, what council members are being referred to. I'm just curious. I'd like to know.
Madam Mayor, Councilman Hogaboom, no one can answer that question. My hope would be that no one was discussing this matter openly after the hearing, and you can determine in your own mind whether there's any truth to that statement or not, but make your decision based upon the content of the entire letter and your desires to bring the matter back.
Are we still able to make comments regarding that last public hearing or not in this session?
Councilman Bruner, my recommendation would be to limit them as much as possible.
Okay. Well, man, I can just speak personally. I felt like it was covered, but I'm open. If there's further things to discuss that we need to hear that we did not hear at the first meeting. Now, I don't like the idea of having residents of Napa having to continue to come back here for these procedural things, but I guess it's just open-ended, so I don't like to shut down the process if there's something more to hear. So I'll make the motion to reconsider.
No, no.
Oh, yeah.
Let's have some discussion before you make motions, if that's okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor.
I thought you had discussion after a second.
I think there's some information that I'd like to share that I don't think that was shared the evening that we discussed, because by the time it got to me, it was pretty clear that you were against it all, and the vote was 5-1 against me. When I look at the merit of this project, the genesis of where it began and where it is at this point in time, it's shifted and changed quite a bit from what was originally proposed. The folks in Steel Falls, and I've designed homes in Steel Falls, I know the quality of the homes that are there, and I'm sensitive to that. But when I looked at the last proposal and the potential build-out of this property with the assisted and independent living centers, the commercial development, the larger lot sizes that are abutting Steel Falls of 12 to 15,000 square feet apiece, the total value of this property over the next 5 to 10 years would be in the $100 to $400 million range, taxable, that the city of Napa would benefit of. Now, the one thing that I didn't make clear that evening was when you look at this being in an urban renewal area, I think Councilman Rodriguez made the comment about it being in an urban renewal area and we won't get any taxation off the ground. Well, that's not a true statement. The initial value of the ground, the base value, is taxable directly to the city of Napa. And the incremental increases in property value as it goes up over the years, those taxable rates go to pay down the bonds. And once paid down, all of that money then is directly into the city of Napa. But when you look at impact fees, and we talked about that earlier, as development happens, the impact fees are collected and paid to the city of Napa, along with the building permit fees and hookup fees. So the only thing that's different about the ground is the fact that the incremental increases in value go to pay down the bonds over the next 10 years. And once paid down, obviously, that's a good thing. When we look at the type of development that was proposed, this would be a low-crime area anyway. Assisted and independent living centers don't really generate a whole lot of traffic volume. The 55 and older community, there are independent folks that would live in there, but again, the amount of traffic that they would be generating or the amount of crime that might happen in that area would be very minimal at best. And then the balance of the property with the upper end homes along the west side as it develops along the east side, that's a low income or low crime type area. The one thing that I think I heard Councilman Rodriguez say was, you know, we wouldn't get the money for police and fire protection. Well, so I guess that's where I thought I wanted to make it clear that the taxable value is very good and would benefit the city. This is an infill piece, because we talk about enclave properties. It is abutting City of Napa property on three sides. That wasn't mentioned. And then when I talked to developers after the fact, and I thought I saw...
Excuse me, Randy, you're giving new information and it's evidence and nobody can rebut it. We're not supposed to get into arguments. So.
Okay.
It's going too far.
Yeah, I was going to make a motion for reconsideration, so I don't know.
I'll make the motion for reconsideration if you'd like to second it. Or you can make it and I'll second it, either way. Okay. I think it's worth further discussion by this council, and the benefit that it would bring the city, I'm very much in favor of.
So Randy has moved that we can approve the request for reconsideration.
I'll second to listen again, yes.
Okay. And I think that we'll limit discussion, and we'll just go for the roll call. May I do so? Okay, roll call.
Skog?
No.
Levi?
No.
Hogaboom?
Yes.
Bruner?
Yes.
And Haverfield?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, again, for a point of clarity, this will come back before as a public hearing item. So I would, if the developer's here, I would strongly recommend that you have better graphics to show.
Amen.
So.
And I guess, and just restating, it's been said multiple times, there is a public hearing process that will follow So you will have the opportunity to participate in that public hearing, which will be noticed at a later time. I don't know what date that will be, but that will be coming forth. So, thank you. So at this time, we're going to move forward to our public hearings. And thank you for being here. I'll pause for just a second. The next item will be item number 33. So item number 33 is an action item. This is a public hearing, and this is annexation and zoning to RS7 at 0 Ventura Drive for connection to city water for Mahalia. Oh my goodness, Theodorescu. I'm totally messing up that name, I'm sure. And so is the applicant present? I do not see the applicant. Okay, is there a staff report?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Excuse me. As you have probably noted, Norm is not with us this evening. He has asked that I cover his items tonight. You know, he is away from our community. The Planning and Zoning Commission apparently provided a positive recommendation on this item that has come before you. And as I read through the report, the genesis of this request appears to be the intent of the applicant to connect to city water. In order to connect to city water, then by city policy, that drives them into the position of having to annex to the city. The recommendation from the commission was positive. Their recommendation on the zoning coincided with what the applicant wanted. Staff endorses RS7, and that would be commensurate with surrounding property zoning, I presume, and with the comprehensive plan. I didn't really have any commentary, it appeared, outside of just decision makers on this item. Do you have any questions? Thank you.
And if there are none, so we have no one signed up to provide public testimony this evening. Is there anyone here that would like to testify on this issue that did not have an opportunity to sign up? Hearing none, I would ask for a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, with the applicant not here, obviously, there's no applicant rebuttal. And so, council discussion?
I make the motion to approve the annexation and zoning request to RS7 as requested.
Second. The conditions.
Were there conditions? With the recommended conditions of approval. Thank you.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Skog?
Yes.
Levi?
Yes.
Bruner?
Yes.
Hogaboom?
Yes.
And Haverfield?
Yes.
Thank you. So item number 34 on the agenda is an action item, zoning map amendment to RA, from RA to RS6 at 0 North Midland Boulevard for Blake Wolf, representing Norm and Debbie Peck. And is the applicant here? Thank you for stating your name and your address.
My name is Blake Wolf, 843 West Horizon Way here in Nampa. We're simply just wanting to rezone this to an RS6, which matches the surrounding properties, primarily because the current zoning, the RA zoning, has constrictive setbacks. The whole north boundary line of this parcel is in the Smith right-of-way, and the RA zoning setbacks just constrict the building envelope to almost an unbuildable size. The RS6 is a little more generous with those setbacks. And so it just made sense to ask for that zoning change. The owners of the lot are just wanting to build one single family home. Questions?
Are there any questions?
Blake, in looking at the aerial photograph, it looks like Smith Avenue. Does it continue through that growth of vegetation there?
No, that's Elijah Drain. And it's actually dirt from the intersection of Midland But they have dedicated that right away, so you know, it could someday be extended over Elijah Drain.
So you'll have to honor that and do road frontage improvements, or they will in time?
We've asked, or will be asking for a deferral on that.
Deferral.
Yes. All the city utilities are in that right away.
Oh, okay.
That will serve this lot.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. If there are no other questions for the applicant, we'll move to the staff report.
Mayor and Council, Norm has provided you with a summary of the same information that the applicant has presented to you this evening, together with a few miscellaneous details. The Commission recommended favorably on this request, both the rezone effort as well as the lack of conditions. No opposition has been expressed. Any questions?
Okay, this is a public hearing, and we do not show that anyone has signed up to testify on behalf of or against this application. Is there anyone in the audience that had intended to testify? Seeing none, I'll stand for a motion to close public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Madam Mayor, I'll make the motion to accept the zoning map amendment from RA to RS6 on east of North Midland Boulevard on the south side of Smith Avenue.
Second.
Discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Skog?
Yes.
Levi?
Yes.
Hogaboom?
Yes.
Rodriguez? Oh, excuse me. Haverfield?
Yes.
And Bruner?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, item number 35. This is a variance to City of Napa Zoning Ordinance 10-11-5B, requiring the first two units to have 6,000 square feet of land and each additional unit 1,350 square feet of land. The applicants are requesting a variance to allow a substandard lot size of 8,595 square feet in place of the 8,700 square feet of land required by the ordinance for a four-unit townhouse. The subject property is located within the RML Zoning District at 424 First Avenue North for Donald and Marie Morgan. Is the applicant here? Go ahead and come forward and state your name and address.
Hi, Donald Morgan, 4620 South Martineau Lane, Meridian, Idaho. And as you noted, we have this property over here that had a small house on it. And it was starting to have lots of maintenance issues, so we had it torn down a year or so ago. And we're looking for what options we have to build on that lot. As we stated, it's just 105 square feet shy of the requirement for a four-unit townhouse. And we're asking for the variance to let us put the four units in there. The reason is that it's quite a bit of expense to go through for the subdivision that we'd have to go through to do the townhouse in the first place. It'd be easier if we could amortize it over the four units instead of the three units that it actually qualifies for. We would make a building that would remain within the setbacks, so we wouldn't need any special considerations on the setbacks that are in place already. And I think there is some benefit to the city because I think the tax revenue would be better on the four units versus the three units. So, any questions?
See no questions from the council at this time. Thank you. We'll have you back if need be, and we'll look for staff report.
Mayor and Council, the conclusions of law or criteria that we use to establish the merits of a variance request are in your staff report. Norm has provided those to you on page 2-3, along with his interpretation of the appropriate findings that could be made if you choose to act favorably on this request. You, of course, have the aerial exhibit that I have placed on the screen, as well as another picture of the property from Street View. Typically, variances are not issued to provide economic benefit or gain, but I believe in reviewing his report, he has provided to you some other alternative reasons, that is, why you might be able to act favorably on this request. NAMPA has typically been more lenient with respect to variance matters than other jurisdictions might be. He has provided you with information respecting the utility availability to the property, as well as a series of conditions of approval should the project be approved. The applicant is correct in stating that if they gain this variance approval to move forward with their project, they will be required to plat. The size of the properties that would ensue from that platting exercise, though they would be less than the amount that is required by the zone, would be acceptable because all that the code basically requires is that the master or original property conform to our codes. Questions?
Mackling, Robert, do you think they have adequate room to provide the required parking on the parcel?
Mayor and Council Everfield, I haven't tried to ascertain that. That'll be something they'll have to determine if they can do it or not, provided or not that is.
Will that review be at staff level only?
Yes.
So I guess we'll rely upon you whether they can pull off a fourplex or if it has to go back to a triplex.
Yes. Certainly they'll be providing renditions of site plans, I presume, for us to review.
Okay.
As part of the exercise.
Thanks.
I don't know if this question is for you or can be answered by the council, but when there's a redevelopment, when there is a single lot house to the proposed fourplex, higher density on the existing piece of land, are there impact fees collected for the redevelopment when you go from lower to higher density?
Mayor and Council, I would presume, but I guess the building official is here present this evening, I think, still, for the particulars of that.
Okay.
Is that a question you'd like to have answered?
I will follow up with.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Thanks, Patrick.
Yeah.
Yes, Mayor and Council. The answer to that is when you tear something down, you get credit for the unit that you tore down, and then you would be charged for the three additional units. Mm-hmm. So that's how that works. So. Any other questions?
No, that's okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a public hearing, and there is no one signed up to testify on behalf or against this particular item. Is there anyone in the here that would like to testify that did not get signed up? Yes. Thank you for stating your name and address.
Okay.
And if you're speaking in support of or not.
I'm Sammy Peck, and I own seven adjoining lots to this property. I don't have a problem with them.
Could you state your, go ahead and state your address, though.
Oh, 215 7th Avenue North.
Thank you.
Sorry.
That's fine. Thank you.
The only problem I would have would be if they were making Fifth Street smaller, because there's a fire hydrant on one side, and of course there's your street sign, and I have mobile homes back in those lots, and they're 14 by 70 usually when they come in. But they also need 5 feet on each side for the mirrors so they can back the mobile homes down in that street. If that street is not going to be narrowed, then I don't have a problem with this. But if it narrows the street, then you're denying my access back into my property, and that's where I would have a problem. And like I say, it's seven lots of Johnson. It's right next to it. So. And that's the only problem I have with it, I think. So.
Does anyone have any questions? Thank you for sharing that information.
The only thing to see would be the emergencies. You know, we want to make sure the fire trucks can't really get down in there either, into that road. And so it's a very small road. It's like an alley. So we want to make sure the paramedics, the fire department, the police, and the people can get in there. It needs to be in there. So. Not only the mobile homes coming and going. So. Okay, thank you very much.
So at this time, we actually have an opportunity for the applicant, unless there's someone else to testify, seeing that it would be the applicant's opportunity for rebuttal.
I'm not sure I want to call it a rebuttal, but I'll just clarify. We have looked at the parking, and it requires 2 parking spaces per unit, which will fit. So, you know, we think that'll work out. And as far as any narrowing of the road, as I mentioned before, we would honor the setbacks, which would be required. Whether we build a 3-unit or a 4-unit, the setbacks would be the same. So
you know, any narrowing of the road would be the same either way. I don't know why the road would narrow. Any other questions?
Any other questions? Okay, thank you so much. At this time, we will close the public hearing. I'll stand for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Council discussion?
Madam Mayor, fellow council members, I move that we pass this variance to the zoning ordinance as presented with the conditions. This is good infill policy for a four-unit townhouse to go into this spot, no doubt about it.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Haverfield?
Yes.
Levi?
Yes.
Bruner?
Yes.
Hogeboom?
Yes.
Skog?
Yes.
That concludes any of the public hearings that we have this evening, and we'll move back to unfinished business. Actually, we'll move back to staff reports. So staff communication, I believe we are ready for Michael Fuse.
Mayor and Council, I think this is the absolute longest staff report I've ever presented, so I'll try to not talk to everyone. I think there's 50 pages, and include all the additional stuff. So with that, I think I put on top what we believe is probably most important and most outstanding. And it's not something you think about very often, but our wastewater team, Andy Zimmerman and his staff and the team around at Caldwell, are the feature article on the Water Environment Technology magazine. It's a highly respected trade publication. We are getting, for our wastewater drying process, it's an innovative thing that we've done to meet the Class A solids, and we're getting calls across the country regarding this, and Andy and his team, Andy will be specifically presenting the national convention next week, and something we're really proud of, that's the good news. I guess kind of the bad news is, went through their entire financial process, and landfills are cheap in Idaho, so even though we can do it, we won't be doing that as a long-term process for you. But it did a tremendous thing, a great study. It was part of our pilot program to see what all we could do as we've done all of our wastewater decisions and the economic decision is. But pretty cool. I'm giving a wastewater program update. Probably the biggest thing that's happened, we've met with Mayor Kling, Chief Staff Bobby Sanchez, myself, with the Department of Environmental Quality, Barry Brunell, and the Regional Administrator, Aaron Sheff, regarding the reuse permit. Very positive meeting. They seems like it's going, our request is going in the right direction. Our next steps is to get the staff together, and then I guess Mayor received notice this today, I believe, right? That Administrator Chief Hadlick, however you say his name, from EPA will be in Nampa on May 23rd. So haven't put our agenda together, just new information hot off the press, so that's what we've got going on. We've given you a laundry list of all the stuff that we've been doing for the public education component. That's sitting in the packet. If you have any questions, the next thing we have is informing you, we've got another special city council meeting on June 4th, scheduled at 5 o'clock, and this is going to be to talk about, we'll know by then the decision that's happening on May 15th after all this education. We'll know either way, whatever that answer is. And by then, we would like to talk about the next steps in this process. But at that meeting, we'll be discussing implementation. Are we ready to go with single-month billing or not? We have that information, or we'll have it by then. The magnitude and implementation strategy for cost of service rates, timing of hookup fees, strategy and timing of hookup fees, and then general guidance on water and wastewater rates and fees. After that, we'll take your input, run it back through our models, present it to the Board of Appraisers about mid-June, and then it'll be back for a public hearing. Also on June 4th, we'll ask for authorization for a public hearing for rates. On July 16th will be then the public hearing for rates for both wastewater and water. Federal grant, looks like today's the day to notify grant. We have another grant notice, and so these are the ones that we've been working on. We got about $5 million in transportation grants that were approved this year, so big work, great work by Tom and his staff, Water, and our grant administrator as well helped us out tremendously, so good work. So ring the bell on that. Certainly giving you the list of ones. It's well over $5 million bucks in 1, 2, 3. seven different grants that we've received this year. So it's kind of the end of this grant cycle, and it's about time to start filling out the next batch and getting ready to continue on. With that, a couple of things. Tom's taking the lead on the Transportation Master Plan. I'll kind of run through these. If you have any questions, you certainly hear. We've got the minutes from our first meeting. Our second meeting is in your packet. Third meeting is coming up. It's scheduled for scheduled soon. And look for the next month, mid-June, I think. Is our next Transportation Master Plan meeting. In that, we're going to certainly go over what we heard in meeting number two, look at trying to address mid-June, that's right, present the draft master plan update, ask for funding scenarios. We've got looking at alternative funding. You've heard about impact fees, and all of the and final capital improvement plan will be presented at that time. And then we hope to have all the final impact capital improvement plan will be delivered to all the invitees, hopefully the week of May 24th. So be careful, the long list of transportation projects will be coming out soon. And last but not least, seems to be the time of year that the concern of local neighborhood traffic speeding has been, seems to be heating up at the mayor's office and other places. If you recall, about a year ago, we rolled out a pilot program to look at how can we implement neighborhood traffic control. We, okay, Tom did all the work, and I'm just here doing the cheerleading. Tom's been doing a great job on this, him and his staff. And they did a traffic calming pilot program. This is a program, if you recall, to look at things like center islands or speed humps or whatnot, and let the neighborhoods participate in the cost of these. And we've created a process that they go through. And it's a pilot program because we've learned quite a few things, identifying the amount of traffic that makes sense, the speeds, the types of streets, and probably most importantly, that the neighborhood is willing to sign a memorandum of understanding or an agreement that they're willing to fund 3/4 of this, and the city would fund 25%. So we've got a couple moving forward. We've got a North Midsummer's Lane traffic calming study, so that's coming forward. We've got the funding consideration. We are getting to the next. The homeowner association has agreed to partner. We're working on our MOU, so we'll be that back before you soon. And so more to come. So if we have other folks out there that want to get this done, we're more than willing to continue. A lot of information. We can go through a lot of detail if you'd like. I've been talking to a lot of nice folks in this community about wastewater, some things that most people really don't want to hear about. Generally, it's over lunch. A lot of breakfast and lunch meetings over wastewater stuff. It's tough talking. But anyway, any questions? Considering the time.
I would like to commend Michael for your work, you and your team. So there have been daily opportunities to educate our public. I'll say that Michael, Bobby, Amy have done a stellar job regarding the education, the community education campaign, and we've got 1 week left. And so it's never too late to continue to communicate, and we cannot advocate, but those of you out there can advocate. And so we appreciate anyone that would like to help communicate. As council, we've been educating and helping people understand. And so I just want to publicly say thank you to all those that have worked very diligently on this project. So, Michael, thank you for your report. Are there any questions for Michael? No? The next item on the agenda is a discussion on the sister city relationship and with Jalisco, Mexico. And I'm not going to try to say the name. Bruce, would you like to say the name?
Yes, Tizapan El Alto and Jalisco.
Thank you.
On Lake Chapala, that's wonderful. But I think that was Victor to talk about that, and I know he really wanted to make a presentation to council, and he's taking points, so I think we could postpone that until he's back.
Well, Victor and I hadn't really talked. I mean, I don't know that he had a presentation at this time. I think the recommendation on this discussion, and so we would be coming back again, actually. My question for the council is if the council would like to pursue the creation of a committee or a commission. And I have visited with Victor about participating and being a part of that. We would have a council liaison. He is working on identifying community members. But it's a question, and that's why this is on the agenda this evening, is to have a discussion with council. By creating a commission, there's a perpetuity, there's a that is positive in having that consistency of something so that it doesn't fall through the cracks. There were a couple questions regarding the contract and that agreement, understanding it's not a legally binding agreement, but then we could push that to the commission, those that are appointed to the commission, to actually review what that relationship looks like and how to further forge that relationship. And Victor would serve as the council liaison and be a part of that piece. So this was just a discussion item. And I think Victor and I have talked about that piece a little bit, but I just wanted to have, needless to say, the only time we get to talk as a council is sitting here. And so it's creating that opportunity to get feedback. We don't have to have a final decision tonight, but I would like some feedback from the council if they would like us to consider it in the form of a commission or a committee. And then we would be coming back again, and I would let Victor present again on this issue, because the language of the commission, all that would be yet to be done. This is just a pulse.
Certainly, that it fell through the cracks in the past, so that may be a good way to go. But I would want Councilman Victor to be a key player in that, not just a liaison, but a real part of it. And he has some good ideas.
Mm-hmm. I fully agree and encourage that. You agree? So, would you? Does that mean that you would a commission?
Yeah, and we've not, no expenditures, no nothing given to the city. I mean, unless it goes through the council or something like that. Okay. Commission.
Okay. Any other comments, commission versus committee? I just don't want to go to the work of putting that language together if it's not supported. So am I seeing a few nods?
Well, I don't know commission or committee one way or the other, but I just want to make sure it doesn't get dropped, whichever way works best.
I am, you know, a commission, as you know, operates with open meeting law, and so there are the procedural pieces. That it's, you function with an open meeting, and so you need to have your meetings, your minutes, and notice on the meeting, as we do all of our commissions. So it's definitely more formal, but it also, at the same time, is it keeps it alive.
That still involves city employees and notices. I'd be more committee.
I think I would as well.
You would vote for committee?
Yeah, I think just to keep that, to be a little bit more free-flowing and less stringent as far as on the requirements.
Okay.
Either way, you're going to have the same amount of emotion, I think, that that Victor might bring to it and others. Mm-hmm. They're going to want to see this continued.
Just question, Councilman Scott, as far as, I mean, is there any difference as far as the time? I mean, I don't like to have city employees spend the time either. I'd rather have the people of the committee or commission. Is there any difference between a committee and a commission as far as giving notice and those type of things? I don't see a whole lot of difference in the time allotment, but even I'm just asking.
The committee doesn't have to give formal notice, doesn't have to follow the rules of the meeting so much. It's just, okay. Just the community coming together.
No, I don't want to stretch our city employees any more than what they're already stretched. So, I mean, if that's the case, if it's going to take a lot more time,
I don't know that it would take a lot more time because we do it as it is. It's not time consuming. I think one thing, and Bobby Sanchez, our chief of staff, would be the liaison from the mayor's office, would be involved in that process. I think there's just a little bit more transparency on a commission than there is on a committee, because the minutes are noticed and it's public information versus a committee there's not a formalization of process and notification and communication.
Mayor, just I hear the pros and cons. I think on both. To have a kind of a relationship with the sister city, I just it doesn't seem that rises to a commission where a committee that's more ad hoc in nature, however not falling through the cracks, but ad hoc would allow you or Victor to invite people as needed. A commission would require what, formal confirmation of people placed on. I think for the sake of flexibility to rally as many people in the community to feel like they're participating in it. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong in thinking that a committee would actually allow a more flexible, inclusive, kind of culture And there might be some people who might attend a few meetings but can't attend others. I don't know. I wish Councilman Rodriguez was here to get some input if he was going to be in.
Mayor Clark. Aaron, would bylaws be written if it was a committee level?
Madam Mayor, Councilman Haverfield, traditionally bylaws probably would not be necessary, but I think they could be adopted. I think most of the comments have been pretty accurate. Any commission that is created by formal action of the City Council that expressly connects that commission to the public meeting laws and requires the agenda and the minutes and the invitation of the public. Now, a committee may not have that requirement nor the formalities. They can still be made open to the public, and they can be noticed in various manners and in different places. So it's certainly a decision. There are pros and cons. But from a legal perspective, the formality is the primary difference.
But bylaws could be written, which would state that it would be an open meeting, that the intent would be that the meetings would be open to the general public.
I think they could, yeah. Okay.
Sandy, do you have any comments?
So no matter if we go with commission or committee, whatever decisions or recommendations would always come before the council and have to be approved for the council?
Not on a committee basis. I mean, it could be required. A commission, again, it goes back to that formality and the perpetuity, I think, of a commission. But in a committee, first of all, a committee or a commission would have no authority to obligate the city. And any decisions that would be an obligation to the city would come before the council. Whether it be a financial obligation or an agreement language or whatever, that would come before the council,
no matter if it's committee or commission, correct?
Correct. Because okay. A committee would not have any authority to obligate the city in any regard.
One of the things I'm just thinking out loud is if we had a commission and if they felt that they needed to write bylaws, which might be a good thing, but I could see that that'd be a big holdup in itself for any progress being made. But then in the end, as I've read through the documentation, I'm wondering, what is the purpose of the sister city? What are we hoping to accomplish? We've had it before. What history, what did it accomplish? And so, you know, I'm kind of mixed and conflicted. I have no problem with us looking into it and developing it, but I'm not really sure the commissioner committee, because I can, as Councilman Hochbaum said, I can see the pros and cons of both sides.
You know, and having listened, I think my recommendation is that we go ahead and form an ad hoc committee and they review it, and the two leaders on that committee would be Victor Rodriguez and Bobby Sanchez, and they would identify, and then if they chose to come back and the committee felt like it would be best to have a commission, they could come back before the council with that recommendation. And they could go ahead and get started in identifying how best to move forward and go from there. Does that sound like a plan?
Sounds wise.
Very nice. So that's what we'll do. Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate the input and the discussion. Okay, item number 19 on the agenda. This is the first reading of ordinance for annexation and zoning to RS6 at 34 North Middleton Road for Irma Lisa Aguilar. Raise. And it's requested that this pass under suspension of rules.
An ordinance determining that certain lands, commonly known as 34 North Middleton Road, comprising approximately 0.597 acres, more or less, lay contiguous to the city limits of the City of Nampa, County of Canyon, State of Idaho, and that said land should be annexed into the City of Nampa, Idaho, as part of the RS6 zone. Declaring said lands by proper legal description as described below to be a part of the City of Nampa, Canyon County, Idaho, directing the city engineer and planning and zoning director to add said property to the official maps of the City of Nampa, Idaho, repealing all ordinances, resolutions, orders, or parts thereof in conflict herewith, providing an effective date, and directing the clerk of the City of Nampa to file a certified copy of the ordinance and map of the area to be annexed with Canyon County, State of Idaho, and the Idaho State Tax Commission, pursuant to Idaho Code 63-215.
Okay,
I make a motion to pass the preceding ordinance as written and read under suspension of rules.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call?
Scott?
Yes.
Levi?
Yes.
Hogaboom?
Yes.
Bruner?
Yes.
Haverfield?
Yes.
Item number 20 is the first reading of ordinance for development agreement annexation and zoning to RS6 for 17.55 acres at Zero Amity Avenue, parcel number R317-990-1000 for Patrick Colwell, the TO Engineers representing Aberdeen Springs Wind LLC, Fred Hornford. And it's requested that we pass this under suspension of rules.
An ordinance determining that certain lands lying to the northeast of the intersection of Myhan Lane and East Amity Avenue, comprising approximately 17.54 acres, more or less, lay contiguous to the city limits of the City of Nampa, County of Canyon, State of Idaho, and that said land should be annexed into the City of Nampa, Idaho, as part of the RS6 zone. Declaring said lands by proper legal description as described below to be a part of the City of Nampa, Canyon County, Idaho, directing the City Engineer and Planning and Zoning Director to add said property to the official maps of the City of Nampa, Idaho, repealing all ordinances, resolutions, orders, or parts thereof in conflict herewith, providing an effective date and directing the clerk of the City of Nampa to file a certified copy of the ordinance and map of the area to be annexed with Canyon County, State of Idaho, and the Idaho State Tax Commission, pursuant to Idaho Code Section 63-215.
Mayor and Council, I would again make a motion to pass the preceding ordinance as written under suspension rules.
Second.
Discussion? Hearing none, roll call?
Skog?
Yes.
Levi?
No.
Bruner?
Yes.
Hogaboom?
Yes.
Haverfield?
Yes.
Item number 21 are the pending ordinances that are postponed due to lack of supporting documentation. As you recall, these are noted just so that we track them, and most of them have taken place except for one just some kind of a little over a month. So at this time, we're going to move to new business. And item number 22, it's an action item, and this is the council to approve engineering division to hire an engineer in training. I'll just mention to council that we've got item number 22 and 23 are action items regarding, they're coming mid-year. This is, it's a little different, but it has to do, because it's outside of our normal budget amendment. It is not requesting anything out of the general fund. These are positions that are funded out of the enterprise fund for both of them. And it has to do with the volume of work that is taking place. And we can answer any further questions. But go ahead, Tom. Are you going to speak to the item number 22?
I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, unless Tom has a lot to add, for the third to hire an engineer director for engineering division development with a plan that we can hardly read it.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Skog?
Yes.
Levi?
Yes.
Hogaboom?
Yes.
Haverfield?
Yes.
Bruner?
Yes.
Okay, item number 23 really is where planning and zoning is going to help fund a building, planning and zoning department staff that is important at this time, and I'm not sure, Robert Hobbs, are you going to speak to this?
I was hoping Darrell would say
Darrell
something.
Darrell was going to say something.
Well, I can read, just if you have something more to add to what we're reading.
Make the motion, Rob. Make the motion.
No, it's somebody else's turn. I'll second.
Thanks, Tom.
I'll make the motion to approve the action item as written.
I will second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Skog?
Yes.
Levi?
Yes.
Hogaboom?
Yes.
Bruner?
Yes.
And Haverfield?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, item number 24, this is an action item, and this is a discussion on leasing or purchasing a portion of the Stoddard Rail Line. Darren Johnson.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the council. In the last couple of months, we've been having conversations with Union Pacific in regards to leasing the land that's described on the red on the exhibit. It's also in your packet. And the reason that we were discussing the option to lease it is because the rail line was putting pressure on us or wanted to sell it or get rid of the responsibility. And so we were in the process of negotiating a lease on that just to hold it and so they wouldn't divide it out. And so while we were getting ready to put a lease together, new information came in about, and this is going on to the next item, 25, is more information came to the city, and it's in regards to the TAP grants that engineering applied for, and they've done great on getting money for pathways. In fact, pathways have been a multi-department effort between planning and zoning with Carla, Tom, Michael, and Jeff with the Public Works, and economic development with Beth and Robin. And so there's just a lot of our departments working toward making alternate transportation better for the city of Nampa. And so it's been just really rewarding working on the efforts for this. And so with the TAP grants, what happened is we had a CB to back up. We had a CDBG grant that paid for design work. And then later we got a TAP grant that also paid for the design work. And so we have two funding sources for the design work. And so what we're proposing now is to take the leftover CDBG funding that was going to go towards the design, since it will already be taken care of, is to go toward the purchase of that particular piece. And what that does is it completes the purchase of the rail that we would need. We already own all the way south from there to Deer Flat, with the exception of one little piece over by south of Lewis Lane. And so that's our proposal tonight. We would, if you approve it tonight, our steps would be to hire an appraiser, get it appraised, and then this would come back to the city council in regards to a sales agreement. So you would have one other chance to approve the sale of or the purchase of the railroad after we get a final number. But we've already talked to the railroad, and it seems like the one right around $128,000 is the number that they're looking at right now. And of course, the appraisal will verify if that's fair market value.
Madam Mayor, a question, Darren. So if we approve this tonight, then you'll come before us again, I mean, after the appraisal, et cetera. And as far as, is this in the budget for 18-19, as far as for actually finishing this project?
So this would be funded for in 20 for design and 21 for construction, the TAP money.
21 for construction.
And another reason I should point out why I think that it's important that we purchase this, I mean, we just got funding to design and construct what we just purchased in the last six or so months, but it also gives another opportunity in the next grant cycle to apply for another TAP grant to actually finish this out. And so there is opportunities moving forward with our proposal.
I need to ask a question. So is this says staff report for me, and that it's a discussion. Is this an action item for approval?
It says action request.
Yeah. So 24 was just a discussion about the lease, and so I wanted to bring that up, that we've had some discussion about a lease, and that's not what we're suggesting. So we're moving into item number 25. Is what I went into to suggesting that we
repurposed the CDBG grant.
Thank you, and I'm sorry, I needed the clarity on 24 to 25. So 24 is not an action item. It's more of a staff report discussion. 25 is an action item, which is the authorization to repurpose the CDBG funds to purchase a portion of the Stoddard Rail Line for a pedestrian pathway.
I'll make a motion to authorize.
Excuse me, go ahead. I'm sorry.
As stated by the mayor, action item number 25.
Second. Discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Skog?
Yes.
Haverfield?
Yes.
Bruner?
Yes.
Levi?
Yes.
And Hogaboom?
Yes.
Thank you, Darren. Item number 26 is an action item, and it's the first reading of an ordinance. Okay, it says street naming ordinance for North Cajun Lane, East Bourbon Lane, and North Pickard Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, Michael, it says a staff report from you. Is that correct? It's a little confusing to me on this one because it's... Go ahead, Darren.
I mean, it should just be an ordinance. I mean, it's a street.
It's a street ordinance, so it's just an ordinance.
But actually, it's just authorized a street naming. I don't know why it has ordinance on there. It should take ordinance. You don't have one.
Yeah, I have one.
You have one?
Yeah.
All right. Or,
okay, so
this has been confusing since it started because they're all private streets, too. So they're authorizing a name for private streets.
Okay, so with that said, thank you, Michael, that it has been requested that we pass this under suspension of rules with the first reading of the ordinance, and thank you for reading the ordinance, and thank you for the clarity.
An ordinance of the City of Nampa, Canyon County, Idaho, naming three new private lanes, North Cajun Lane, East Bourbon Lane, and North Pickard Lane. I said that correctly.
Under suspension of rules?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Fellow council members, I'm just trying to figure out this owner. They must be Cajun and they like bourbon and they like Star Trek. I don't know if this we want to do three readings on this. There wasn't a request for suspension of rules?
Yes, there was. A request to pass.
I'll make the motion we pass the street naming ordinance as presented under suspension of rules.
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah, I have a question. This took up some time. I don't want to add more time, but I'm just curious. Is there a fee that the applicant pays to bring this to your attention and all the staff attention and bring it to the city council to request a official naming recognition of their street?
Mayor and Councilor Hogaboom, I don't believe there is, but I'd have to check.
Okay.
I don't believe it's part of it's like addressing in street and stuff.
So okay. How about signage, street signage? How's that work?
Private signs, they'd have to get their own sign. That's the blue one. So they'll have their own signs.
All right.
Thank you. Further discussion? Roll call.
Haverfield?
Yes.
Levi?
Yes.
Bruner?
Yes.
Hogaboom?
Yes.
Skog?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so item number 27 is an action item, and this is to authorize the mayor to sign a bid award to Knife River Corporation for Elijah Drain at Green Hirsch Culvert Repair and Road Widening Project. Michael.
Well, Mayor and Council, finally you've heard about this project a number of times. It's been on and off, so we got a good bid. Knife River, a quality contractor, gave us a bid of $1.1 million. We had four bidders besides $1.6 million, so I think it's a pretty good bid. It's actually below the engineer's estimate, so that's a positive note as well. With that, and a parametrics engineering firm has reviewed it. The bids recommend award to Knife River. So request before you today is award the bid to Knife River Corporation, authorized mayor to sign a contract for the Elijah Drain and Greener's Culvert Repair and Road Widening in the amount of $1,147,026.
Questions?
So moved as presented.
Second.
Discussion?
Question, Michael. Are you seeing the bid climate starting to be a little bit more competitive now? It's nice to see at least four different bidders.
Mayor, Councilor Haverfield, seems to be all over the map right now. It seems if you hit the right window when the contractors are just in between jobs, you get a good number. We had one just last council where we received one bidder. And so it's all over. We're talking now. We're trying to get the feel for that, but it seems like if you just hit the right window, I think it's more luck than support that.
All right, thanks.
Okay, any further discussion? Roll call.
Levi?
Yes.
Hogaboom?
Yes.
Bruner?
Yes.
Haverfield?
Yes.
And Scott?
Yes.
Item number 28 is also an action item, and it's to authorize the mayor to sign the bid award contract to Riverside, Inc. for Locust Lane Irrigation Production Well Project. Michael?
Mayor and Council, this is a one bid, so kind of the both ends of the spectrum. Riverside, Inc. is we received one bid. We did review the bid with have a consultant review the bid, and this is the completion. This is the production side. We're drilling the production well for Locust Lane Irrigation. You've probably heard this a number of times. We've done test wells. We've had the agreement with the property. So this is and then we'll have another bid that you'll see probably later this summer, which will outfit the well house and pumps and stuff. It's located. I have a picture of the back lot. Again, we received one bid. We do recommend the award to Riverside. So request before you today is award bid and authorized mayor to sign the contract with Riverside Inc. for the Locust Lane Irrigation Production Well. Project the amount of $192,347.
So move, that's ready.
Second question, Michael. How deep is the well, the casing?
Here on the bid ones. The bore, it's 400 feet deep on the 24-inch open hole, and then we're going to have casing of 16-inch steel, 358 feet, and then screen at 110 feet of water. So if you recall, this is a new irrigation well, part of the irrigation funding increase. As we're looking at these, we're doing a combination of making sure that it could, depending on how water rights go in the future, this could be a municipal well. It's got good water quality. Today it's an irrigation well, so it could be served in the future. We need the capacity in irrigation.
So you could go domestic with this well?
It has water quality sufficient for domestic.
Wow.
And so that's to some reason why we're going so deep. Also, while we're water resources recently, there's been some concern of poor well construction. So that's another thing. I think it's just part of our responsibility to maintain integrity of the aquifer. So we're doing additional sealing to make sure that we're confining the aquifer separately. And so that's some of the other things that we're seeing in our irrigation wells. We have another one that will be coming forward in the near, this year. I know we're out there in the next stage. But yeah, this is one. We do have a neighbor. We're doing some well protection as well on a neighbor. Probably a lot more than you asked, sorry.
Okay, I have a question. I'm just looking at this. The consulting is almost the cost of the well. So you've got to actually do the well is $192,000. The consulting has been $166,000, not counting the test well, the property acquisition, and then the pump building at $500,000. So give me a little bit of a, help me understand those costs.
I guess if you put consulting on a percentage of the total, usually we're seeing engineering consulting in the 20 to 25% range.
But the total includes that, so the cost of the well is only $192,000.
Well, but the consulting includes the test well, the
it doesn't. The test well is $139,000.
No, the assistance with the test well drilling, okay. the monitoring. This probably doesn't include, and I haven't confirmed this, but I don't believe this consulting includes the pump building consulting yet. I don't believe so.
And then I'm looking at $500,000 for a pump building. There must be very sophisticated equipment inside that pump building. Is that what that's funding?
Mayor, Councilor, this is all the product. It's going to be the pump itself. It's going to be the motor. Any kind of, plus a building, we're trying to go to a better, this is in a neighborhood, so we're going to put it in a block building, I believe, right? Otherwise, you're going to get noise complaints from the VFDs, typically, not VFDs, but the vertical turbines. Often we use turbines on the irrigation wells, and they're pretty noisy. This isn't, again, where we're trying to look at both the combination of domestic and irrigation, the well houses. It's no longer the metal building, the metal sheds that we're putting over buildings. This is a production well. And a typical well costs about $1 million. I mean, they are what they are. This is
It'll be larger, so potential disinfection would have the capacity in there, things of that nature. So I hope that helps. Certainly can get you a lot more information. One of the things that we that does add additional cost to our wells is we're doing more test wells than we've done in the past. It's a bit of the nature we've seen. Some of it is if we're looking for water quality, if we don't care and we don't know what kind of volume we're going to get, then you just drill a hole and hope, right? But what we're trying to do is make better decisions along the way. So we're getting production out of these 1,000 to 2,000 gallons a minute. I mean, if we want 300-gallon-minute wells, and you just drill and hope. So we're trying to make better decisions with our wells. We're also seeing, like I said earlier, more concerns about aquifer contamination. The city of Meridian actually proposed an area of drilling concern. They've seen significant problems of potential cross-contaminations of aquifers in their area. And so that's something that's actually in the discussions going on right now. So it's something that we're cognizant of. This is also, if you recall, in an area where we thought we may still get a challenge from our water right because it may have a connection with some of the cost of this would include that assistance with the water right concern. This is one near here was protested by the irrigation company. Boise CUNY Irrigation District protested a well, primarily for the concern of lowering the water out of Lake Lowell. And so it's a real contentious area. It is no longer drill and hole. I mean, Nampa, if we were at 5th Street and 5th Street North, I would say we can do that all the time. As we get out to the perimeters and different areas of water quality is less. This is going to, anyway.
I see the well houses bid separately.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Madam Mayor, I appreciate your questions and concerns about the cost. Just clarification, Michael. So the pump building is yet to go to bid?
Correct.
So this is just an estimated figure at this
Correct.
Point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. And with that, if there's no further discussion, I believe we were at roll call.
Skog?
Yes.
Levi?
Yes.
Hogaboom?
Yes.
Haverfield?
Yes.
And Bruner?
Yes.
Okay, item number 29. This is authorize the mayor to approve a work change directive and change order number 2 with Blue Sky Construction for Western Regional Lift Station Phase 2.
Mayor and Council, I hate to come before you with another change order on a major project, but we are where we are. The existing, this is the Western Regional pipeline project that connects our lift station. Western Regional has about 25% of the capacity of the city. As the work was progressing on Railroad Street, west of the treatment plant, the existing pressure sewer line crept over into the alignment that we had planned for this line. So we have to add fittings and air release valves, and that's the cost of fittings and air release valves. We also had to get another easement from Simplot. And so this is one that in order to complete the line, it's going to take this amount.
Question. How does a 24-inch force main meander?
The existing, there's no locator line in it. So the existing pipeline went off the alignment.
When it was being installed or after it was installed?
The original. There's two. We're running a parallel one. The existing one, and we're building a parallel one. The existing one came off of the alignment by almost 10 feet from what it was shown on the plans.
So, again, my question is, was it installed that way initially?
Oh, yeah, clearly. There was bad record of whoever did it whenever it was done.
So when it was scoped out, that movement in that pipe wasn't identified as far as original bid documents?
No, nor could it be. There's no locate wire with it. There's no way to locate exactly where it is.
Okay.
Any further questions from Michael? It's the will of the council.
So, Mayor Kling, you've given us two options. Option number 2 is the one that you're suggesting that we...
Yeah,
Yeah, well, so we looked at, without an easement from Simplot, we would have to go over the main and back around. That requires additional, well, this is a high-density polyethylene pipeline, so going straight's real easy, just buy more pipe. Finding fittings is a lot more difficult. So the fittings are really expensive, and as air release. So when we had to go over, we had to add a lot more fittings and more air release valves. When we're going essentially around it, fewer fittings, and it still takes an addition. It's one valve instead of two.
So is there more long-term stress on that pipe as with that second option?
No more than either option has about the same amount of pipe stress. The difference is that we have fewer fittings, essentially fewer fittings, so less vertical change. And without the, I guess this is one of those things that we have a relationship with Simplot, that's our neighbor, and we were able to get with the right decision makers and get a decision. It has been difficult to chase, right? This would have been in a residential area where we would be fighting an easement. We'd have been paying $400,000 because you just would not have been able to get the space. Fortunately, this is in the old Simplot Meats plant, so they've raised the building. It's really nothing. It's essentially a vacant piece of land.
So, Madam Mayor, if I may, a question. Michael, so this has never come up before. This new procedure says it's been around for 20 years. Is that correct?
The type of construction? Yes. The location?
I mean, I commend that if I'm looking at the right section here, that I commend that we found this, but so have we not had reason to use this procedure in the past? Am I on the right one?
I don't know.
Rejection of quote?
No, this is work directive change.
Thank you. What you were saying was not making a bit of sense.
Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense.
When I went to new business. Okay, so yeah. I'll ask my question for the next one. Okay.
Yeah, last one. We've done pressure. We've done these before. But okay. The pipe out of location is kind of what we have. I wish it wasn't either.
So it sounds like staff has recommended option number two, which is relocate the line to the north at $230,000.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
Skog?
Yes.
Levi?
Yes.
Bruner?
Yes.
Hogaboom?
Yes.
And Haverfield?
Yes.
And for clarity, that was moved by Haverfield and seconded by Hogaboom.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it. Good. Yes, thank you.
Okay. So now moving on to item number 30. Michael, again, it's an action item, and this is to authorize the engineering division to proceed with the final bidding process for the Zone D sewer rehab, which is an FY17 project. And
Mayor, this is a little confusing, so maybe I can help out with it. First of all, part of the previous one, we are at our budget limit on that project, so we are adjusting. The next two have been adjusted. This one has been adjusted to make sure we pay for that one. So item number 30, so for the record, item number 30 has been adjusted to item number 29, because the Western Regional Lift Station pressure line is high priority, and it's in the middle of construction.
Okay.
So that might have been the confusion.
Yeah, it doesn't take much, but yeah.
And I want to clarify, I've got on our agenda, it says it's an FY17 project, but the notes say it's an FY18, unless I'm missing something. Which is that?
The error would have been the FY17.
It is so it is an FY18.
Fiscal year, Mayor and Council, this is a fiscal year 18. We do a rehab, as you know, our asset management program, we try to rehab a portion of the sewer main every year. We use our line crew staff to identify it. The unique thing that, so this is a little bit confusing. So one of the things that we tried to do early on this project is to go, there's two of the identified manholes that are to be fixed are in a public or a state highway that we were trying to get out of the way before the state rebuilt the road. We brought to you a couple council meetings ago a contract for $92,000 to fix these manholes. This is the rejection of quote because I think this. So we brought it, had a contractor, they were difficult, they were deep, they were wet, Mill State Highway. Our staff, I mean this is
probably a kudos for training. So our staff went to the American Public Works Regional Conference, which happened to be in Boise, so it was easy to see a few folks over there. Our project staff, Jeff Barnes was there. There was a vendor that was showing this product, and they gave an individual gave a presentation of it that's being used in an adjacent community in the Northwest or somewhere, found a rehab product that's able to reline a manhole. We've relined manholes. Learn way more than you probably wanted to. But we've relined manholes before with a non-structural coating, and before they fail too far, you can put a Band-Aid on them and they'll be fine. These were more structural damage than we anticipated. We found this product by going to a conference recently. It was last month, I believe. Found the vendor. We had him come out, take a look at what we've got. He says his product will work. It's been done throughout. We had JUB engineers review the product. It is significantly cheaper than $92,000. We got a quote, $27,000. But the difficulty is we'd already brought to council the award of the contract to the other guy. I actually have the contract signed in my hand in the office, so I didn't mail it. Fortunately, we caught it in time. Step one, in order to achieve the better solution, we need to reject. Formally, we'd have to reject all bids on the, what's that called? Make sure we got it. Zone D sewer ITD manhole replacements, I think is the proper term. Yes, I think that's what it's called. So we have to reject those bids, and then we'll move forward with the rehab. So that's one of the action items on this particular.
You want to say that again, how you want that worded?
We wrote it down specifically.
And is this all still under item 30?
This is item 30, yeah, that's confusing. So okay. That's why.
And I will note that the request is actually an error on the sheet. Item 229 says FY17 project.
Yes, sir.
Maybe we should correct that just for our records so that it's clear, not just on the agenda, but actually on the record. It's probably why you guys had it there. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you for the clarity, and go ahead.
So the first request is to authorize the Mayor and Public Works Director to reject all quotes for Zone D sewer rehab ITD manhole replacement projects, including the low quote from Jim Buffington Construction in the amount of $92,990, and proceed with the CIP Construction Technologies cured-in-place fiberglass PVC liner quote in the amount of $27,014. And it's all written in the back on that.
Ours says Cougar Excavation. You said someone else.
All right. So has it been up? I apologize. I thought Tom would be here to help me out with the last two. No, it has been updated to. Corrected copy, good copy, correct copy, good
copy. So there was, I see in my notes, there's a correction to replace Cougar Excavation with Jim Buffington Construction.
That's right. That's my little sticky.
Right.
No, as well.
So we need to make sure that we're noting that.
Yes, it should be Jim Buffington Construction. Their own, one's the owner and one's the son. It's a confusing. There's two owners of the similar contract.
Mayor Kling, Michael, just for point of clarification, the bid process that you went through, you gave yourself the opportunity to reject all bids, correct?
Legally, I believe this has been reviewed by the city attorney's office.
So do you know, Aaron?
Madam Mayor, Councilman Haverfield, we did look at this particular document. Because the contract had not been approved by council and executed, we believe that it's still within your ability to go ahead and pull back on the previous authorization to enter into negotiations and get a contract and to reject all bids and then go with this new, more economical option.
So that, I want to be clear, so the bid documents gave you the ability to reject any and all bids?
I believe the bid documents specifically, well, I believe they said that state law, likewise, always gives the city council the authority to reject all bids and rebid.
Okay, I just don't want you to get in trouble by rejecting a bid when you didn't have that language built into your bid document.
Yeah, and the contractor's aware of the situation, so not
it's okay.
Protest.
Would that be Cougar or Buffington?
Buffington.
Okay.
And then,
I'll say this clarification there, Michael. So the request, you're denying the low quote from Cougar Excavation is not correct. Buffington was the low?
No, we're rejecting Buffington, which was, the write-up is incorrect that you have in your packet.
Okay, so
one of your packets says Cougar.
In the Cougar Excavation, it would be the low quote from Buffington, whatever.
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
In amount of $92,990.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, now, second item is authorize consent to bid for our sewer rehab project, which is a number of other, have a map on that one. That's easier. What
happened here? Can we vote on these separately?
Yes.
Because this is confusing. I mean, it'd be nice to close one unless we have to keep both of these discussions open.
Just keeping the conversation going. If we'd like to move forward on the first one, that's fine. That's
could we,
Mayor,
Council?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Randy.
To authorize you and the Public Works Director to reject all quotes as written, except for the change that Cougar Excavation would be Buffington Excavation in the amount of $92,990, and to proceed with the CIP construction with technologies, or I'm sorry, with the amount quoted of $27,014.
I'll second that then. Discussion. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to my initial. I'm so glad you guys went to this conference, but I'm still not understanding with all these other communities doing this new procedure for 20 years. I'm just curious the reason we were not aware of it. Understand what I'm saying?
Mayor, Council Brunner, this product hasn't been used in Nampa. Now, we don't know. I mean, I can't answer that any differently.
I guess in cases it's been used all across the country, and then in Sandpoint, Coeur d'Alene, Weezer, Lewiston, Moscow, and Twin Falls. I'm commending you for finding out. I'm just curious what all this communication and all this information out there, how it kind of we got lost in the. I'm just glad you found it now. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
okay.
Michael, just for what this product is, does it take the trim rings that are just broken and kind of bond them back together? How does this product work?
It's similar to a spray-on liner on the inside. It's PVC and fiberglass. And I really haven't
so it's a composite problem. Product?
It's a composite. If you can clean a manhole, you have to clean it off as best you can to get it adherence. And it actually adds a structural element to it.
So
the inside, it's sprayed on the inside of the manhole.
So do you still add trim rings when your asphalt grows? Right. Anyway, okay. So it's just basically reinforcing the structural integrity.
It's a structural bell. Yeah, it's the structural bell of the culvert. But if it was just grade rings, we'd pick those out and start all over again. Those are cheap meat.
Oh, okay.
It's a barrel. I mean, these are BB blend. So that's the other tricky part. It's going to, we'll have to seal them off so it doesn't have water intrusion. Mm-hmm. I'll concrete out the cracks. It'll be a process. But they've apparently had good luck with it. I mean, to some extent, on that nature, try not to experiment a whole lot with things, too. So.
All for the vote.
Okay, no further discussion. Roll call.
Skog?
Yes.
Levi?
Yes.
Hogaboom?
Yes.
Brunner?
Yes.
And Haverfield?
Yes.
Okay, Michael, thank you for going on to the next. Now, this is still item number 30, or are we done?
Oh, yeah, 30.
Yeah,
sure.
30, the second part.
So this is the, on map is our sewer rehab. On the drawing is our sewer rehab project. And this is looking at, essentially, this is our zone D, I believe. Yeah, zone D, and so we have 946,000 ready for final bid. So with that, we hope to have about 600,000. So we've taken some out to help with the Western Regional. That leaves us with about 600,000 for completing the project. To do as much rehab as we can, and that's how we bid it, so much per lineal foot, and we just do the amount as much as we can get accomplished. These are projects that are reviewed by the
the line crew, and these are the ones that are recommended for rehab. This is another in situ form, though, not an internal liner in there. Beat it up. Done this a couple of years. So again, we authorize engineering division to proceed with the formal bidding process for the Zone D sewer rehab for fiscal year 18 project. So that's another correction that needs to be made as well.
So moved with that correction.
Second.
Any further discussion? Not roll call.
Skog?
Yes.
Levi?
Yes.
Hogaboom?
Yes.
Bruner?
Yes.
Haverfield?
Yes.
Item number 31 is again an action item, and this is to authorize the mayor and the public works director to sign the contract for Challenger Companies to complete the Birch Lift Station upgrades.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I have a second on that
one. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Skog?
Yes.
Levi?
Yes.
Hogaboom?
Yes.
Bruner?
Yes.
And Haverfield?
Yes.
With that, item number 32, I would entertain a motion that we adjourn into executive session pursuant to Idaho Code 74-206-1J to consider labor contract matters authorized under section 67-2345A, parentheses 74206A1A and B of Idaho Code.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Levi?
Yes.
Hogaboom?
Yes.
Bruner?
Yes.
Skog?
Yes.
Haverfield?
Yes.
And we will be back out for the whole
thing. We're just going to adjourn.
We're coming back just to adjourn.